going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Ben's been talking to various people around the league. He'll join us at 12, and we will look ahead to tonight with Ben at 12. Before that, Linnell's going to jump on with us at 11:40. I want to get Linnell's thoughts on the pick last night. But let's give you guys a chance here, 301-230-0980. What'd you think of the pick, Josh Connerly Jr.? I like the pick. I'm fine with the pick. Like I said, it's hard to evaluate for me anyway. Maybe some of you are more expert at it. Offensive linemen in particular, it's hard to have true passionate feelings. Now, when you see some dude at the college level that's, you know, 6'7 and 365 and athletic and just mowing people down like Trent Williams was, not necessarily that big, you can identify that. The rest of it is hard. We're much better at being wrong at evaluating quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. But I trust them. And the fact that there were, and I believe it to be true after talking to a few people, opportunities to trade back, pick up picks, but this was a player they were dead set on. I do think the Chiefs were probably the team they were concerned about if they had traded back just, let's just say, 6 or 7 picks and it had something early in the second round. They would have perhaps lost out on Connerly Jr. 301-230-0980. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, I agree and disagree with you. Where I agree with you is it's very difficult to evaluate the offensive line position. I agree any position for this team was a position of need. Offensive line, defensive line, cornerback, safety, wide receiver, running back. So I don't think you could have gone wrong in any position per se. What I disagree with you is this notion that because Washington made the NFC title game, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are above reproach. And to me, if you look at the acquisitions Peters made and the draft picks he made, I can't say this is Howie Roseman or Eric DaCosta or someone who's getting Pro Bowlers left and right. Luvu, Wagner, home runs last year. Jane Daniels is the game changer of all game changers. But there are many picks, acquisitions, Lattimore, et cetera, that right now it's hard to say, oh, in Peters we trust. And to me, I think the question I have is, as of now, the biggest weakness for the 2024 Washington Commanders was the defense. And as of now, I don't see how the 2025 Commanders have a better defense between free agency and or the draft night one. It doesn't seem like the defense is going to be significantly better or even slightly better as of now. So for me, again, I have no objection with the philosophy of drafting alignment. I have no evaluation of the player, but I would have liked to see more emphasis on defensive playmakers given how much the defense struggled in 2024.
All right, so a couple of things. Number one, beyond reproach is a hell of a lot different than benefit of the doubt. I'm in benefit of the doubt mode. Okay.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. That there's a big difference there. And by the way, I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt. Secondly, there's a recognition that even the best get two out of three wrong. So I'm not expecting for them to be perfect. What I do think is that based on the quarterback that they have, maybe some of the things that they did in the offseason, including Laremy Tunsil, including Marshawn Lattimore, fingers crossed on him. That wasn't the offseason, but in season. Deebo Samuel. I think that they think differently about themselves defensively than we do, and time will tell because there is a lot of variance year to year with defense. I think they put themselves into a position to draft the best player that was available on their board as long as it wasn't a quarterback. And if they did that, and I believe that they did that, it's hard for me to be critical of it, period. And when it's also a pick that is investing in not only your trenches offensively, but in the protection of your most prized possession, I can't generate, especially because of the position, which you agreed with, I can't generate enough passion to be critical or even constructively critical of it. But, you know, you start,
the
benefit of the doubt is my mode, not beyond reproach. Because I thought they gave Javon Kinlaw way too much money.
Right. That's a fair point. So, again, I don't disagree with what you're saying, and you're right. Like, maybe reproach is too strong a word, your benefit of the doubt. You broke down so much tape on your podcast, this, that, the other. At no point did you kind of even talk about this player. Like, I think if you polled the fan base, most people would have said, we need defensive playmakers. To me.
Well, they liked him more than the defensive playmakers that were on the board. You make your biggest mistakes. Every good GM has always said you make your biggest mistakes when you draft for need and you pass on a player that's the best player available on your board. And that's what they did. I'm taking them at their word. And by the way, the RAS score and some of the athleticism with this player. And look, you know, on the beyond reproach versus benefit of the doubt, what it also says is they were wrong about Brandon Coleman if they thought he was going to be their long-term answer at left tackle. But I'm glad they recognized it now, and they've done something about it. Thanks for the call.
I agree. Can I ask you one question?
Quickly.
So say the draft went exactly as is, and Washington's at their pick. Would you have rather taken Philly's pick?
I like the player. Right. You're talking about Jahad Campbell.
Correct.
Yeah. I like the player a lot. I think that he's like perfect for Philadelphia. Obviously, we'll see about the injury and how long it's going to take him to be ready to play because there is some discussion about him not being ready to play at the beginning of the year. There were a lot of players that I personally liked a lot more than some of the offensive linemen, but they didn't. And they know. And the reason we didn't spend a lot of time on Connerly Jr. or Simmons or any of that is because it is a hard position to evaluate. Although I did not think that offensive line was off the table at 29. We talked about that, and I think if Tyler Booker, and he didn't fall, he got drafted at 12 overall, I think he would have been the pick, and we did talk about him. All right, let me get on to some other callers. Thank you, Ian. Let's go to Billy and Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, this is another amazing day for the Commanders and the future of this organization. I couldn't be more excited that Adam recognizes the value of J.D. Fife. I mean, the guy is not only the best player on our team, the best player in the NFC, he's probably the best player in the NFL. And beyond that, if I'm looking at the draft and the reaction of those young guys that got drafted, and congrats to all of them, Jaden Daniels is the face of the NFL for the next 5 to 10 years. That's how spectacular this guy is as a star. I also would evaluate the draft choices by the teams in our division. I mean, to me, Philly had the best defense. What did they do? They had no offense. Look, if you switch quarterbacks in the NFC Championship, the Eagles with Jaden Daniels at the quarterback and us,
they would have won by more than 32?
They would have won by 120.
Yeah.
And the Commanders wouldn't have scored a point. That's what a difference maker Jaden Daniels is for this team. The Giants, they picked a quarterback and it was an absolute Hail Mary that this guy can play. And they picked an edge rusher because they know they got to slow down J.D. Fife. And the Cowboys, they're clueless, so they took a guard. The other teams in the league have, through my observation, selected based on the fact that they know they have to slow down JD5. So maybe selecting a player that isn't the best, but you're selecting by position, isn't the ideal way to go about it. But I'll take that over being a team that has to draft trying to slow down a player that's on the other team. And that's the way they got to view
just,
it.
Can't, like, okay. First, I love you, and I love your enthusiasm about JD5, and I have the same level of enthusiasm. But the best way to, in today's NFL, to slow down a quarterback of that level is to have your own quarterback at that level, because that's the only way long-term you're going to end up with more wins than the other team. You know, it's not, loading up on Abdul Carter to go with Brian Burns and Thibodeau. We've seen it. You know, Myles Garrett's been one of the most dominant defensive players that we've ever seen in the game. They didn't have a quarterback. You beat teams with great quarterbacks by finding your own, and it's hard. It's really
you're
hard to do.
Fine.
That's why Washington's in such a good spot here over the next several years. Thank you,
we've
Bill.
Got the one in a million. He's a one in
appreciate
a million.
It. Let's go to Mark in Chevy Chase. Mark, thanks for holding. Go ahead. Mark, you there?
Yes, I'm right here. Hello?
Got you now.
Hello? Yeah, hey. So I just want to say real fast, I love the pick. I'm not really following the different players that closely, but as a general rule, I'd like big or bulky players to smaller players. And based upon that, I think we got another hog in town. So that makes me happy. Hopefully he'll pan out and do real well. I do think that our next pick, not really knowing the players, we need to pick up some quick player or a real fast player. I think that we're filling out our team. It looks like for years and years, Kevin, we talk about depth for a team, and it looks like we're finally have some depth to this team, but from way years ago, we always are looking for more depth. So speed at a secondary position or a wide receiver, probably more defensive back safety might be really nice, especially if he can return punts and kicks. So a player like that in the second round would be great. I do like the player from Miami, the tight end. Because I don't watch too much college football, but either him or I would stay away from the running back from Ohio State, just because I really enjoy watching Brian Robinson and would like to see him do well this year. So that's okay. Pretty much where I'm at. I'd either trade up for the tight end from Miami or look for the fastest player in the draft.
Yeah, Arroyo is the tight end from Miami. If they'll end up trading up or need to. I actually like Mason Taylor more than Arroyo, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thanks,
thank you.
Mark.
Take care.
Yep, let's go to Jason and Laurel. Jason, thanks so much for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Kev. Thanks for taking the call. I'm
sure.
In absolute love with the pick, and I'm confused how anybody couldn't be. First of all, most important priority is keeping JD5 healthy. This helps with that. It makes our line bigger, younger. He's versatile. Colvin's versatile, so you got some guys you can move around. The other thing, too, is all this talk about defense, and I get it. I mean, nobody's really happy with the total defensive product we had. But, guys, come on. We played defense by playing keep away with the ball last year until our run game broke down in some spots. This helps our run game, which helps our defense.
No doubt.
And the guy is a gazelle, can run downfield. He's going to block. He's a big guy. I tell you, that I like Ian's calls with you. I love hearing you guys go back and forth. I, too, very much benefit the doubt. I love that Newmark and AP, they're quality guys. They're polite. They keep everything to the grab. They're making good decisions. When these two guys finally decide to draft somebody that might have a butt or once upon a time he made the mistake, I'm going to have 100% confidence that they've done their due diligence and that was just one mistake that the player made. I mean, I love how they're shaping.
Well, they're going to make more than one. They're going to make more than one mistake. You know, the best of the best make more mistakes in the draft and miss more often than they hit. But I'm with you. Like I you know, the benefit of the doubt that I've had is A, it started with, well, what, this is so much better than what we used to have. B, now it's that we've seen that they're a professionally run organization. They have smart people making these decisions. They have, by the way, good people making these decisions. We didn't have that before. I'm all on board with what they're doing. But it does not mean they're going to be perfect, because they won't be. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Jason.
What's good?
Yeah, quickly, yeah.
I think they're going to draft a running back too, but I would be surprised if, other than a running back, it's all defense from here on out, just for role players and depth. That's what I think we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they have to get better defensively. The question is whether or not they feel like they already have gotten better defensively. That's what we don't know. Like I've said a million times, defense is incredibly variable year to year. We don't know that they don't believe that Dorrance Armstrong's finish to the season is going to be, in year two in the same defensive system, a dominant kind of a season, sack-wise, run-stop-wise, that Johnny Newton isn't going to step up big, that Kinlaw isn't going to be the size that they've been looking for in the versatility, that Wise can't get after the passer, that Jordan McGee isn't going to be a major new addition in terms of the playmakers, that Will Harris is everything that Jeremy Chinn was, and more for less money. There's a lot that they know that we don't know. I think the biggest question mark really is Lattimore. Like, is Lattimore going to be a top-level outside corner for them in 2025? Because that will be very important. And then, you know, before you even get to that, you got to be better stopping the run. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Gary in Upper Marlboro has been on hold for a while. Gary, thanks. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, I like the player, Kevin, but I am still very, very shaky on the defensive side of the ball. Okay, I heard what you just said. I am more in the bank with Ian about what he said about Adam Peters. Adam Peters, I think, is decent in finding established players, like in free agency. But the jury is still out on him on the draft, okay? And I don't care what anybody says. Outside of Sanders still and, of course, Jaden, every one of those draft picks are still question marks, okay? Every single one of them. And when everyone was saying, I think we need to trade down and get more picks, I did not want to trade out of the first round because I didn't want to give Adam the ability to bungle the second and third and fourth round picks that it looks like he's done already. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You can't say that after one season. Most rookies don't contribute in their rookie season. You've got to give it three seasons before you can really weigh in on a draft. They had the offensive rookie of the year, and they had a guy that finished fifth or sixth in defensive rookie of the year voting. So the fact that they had a guy that had the kind of rookie season that Sanders still had and the kind of year that Jaden had, you got to give some of these other guys a chance. Sinnott didn't have many reps. McCaffrey actually played well in terms of his get open ability. They just didn't throw it to him enough. I just think it's way too early to judge last year's draft. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's too early to have a strong opinion about the 2024 draft.
And what I'm saying is, you said 2 or 3 years. Well, Washington doesn't have 2 or 3 years. We're trying to get a championship when Jaden is on his rookie contract. That's what everybody's talking about. Okay,
I understand.
That's what everybody's talking about.
And how do you know year two for these guys isn't going to be a breakout year? How do you know Luke McCaffrey or Jordan McGee isn't in store for a major breakout year to go with Sanders still, who starts pushing for a Pro Bowl and Jaden gets his second? Can you, like, just that alone, 4 out of 9 would be a massive hit rate. in an NFL draft.
But we don't have.
And by the way, they've got a contributor and a starter in Coleman at guard. Worst case.
We don't have any evidence, Kevin, that these guys are going to be hits. We don't have any evidence of it. You said McCaffrey was getting open. Okay. But what I'm saying is there are plenty of teams who get production, get some production out of their rookies, third, second, third, fourth, and fifth rounders. It's all around the league.
Not always in the first year, though. Rarely in the first year.
No, I said rookie. I said rookies. No.
Okay.
There are teams that Dallas, in our own division, Dallas has had some really good years with their rookies up and down their drafts. Okay, people are taking shots at what they
can. Let me ask you it this way. Let me ask you it this way. Your projection right now, when we look back on the 2024 draft in 2027, how do you think we're going to evaluate a draft that included Jaden Daniels, Mike Sanristil, and Brandon Coleman at a minimum? Okay, two Pro Bowl caliber players and probably a full-time starter at a guard spot along their offensive line out of the nine players they picked.
The entire draft? I mean, you're saying.
I'm not mentioning any other players. All they would need is one more player to have a hit rate that is at a very acceptable level to contribute.
Well, we had nine draft picks.
Yes,
last year.
Nine.
And you're saying two Pro Bowlers?
I'm just saying, in 3 years, how do you think you're going to evaluate it? Right now, what's your gut?
My gut is Sanristil and Jaden will be.
And that's it?
Jaden will be a perennial Pro Bowler. I'm not sure about Sanristil.
Okay.
I'm not sure about him. I think he's going to be a decent player, but I didn't see anything that says he's going to be a lockdown corner.
Okay.
I mean, I think we're looking at this as too many rose-colored glasses, okay? And my point
maybe.
Adam
I'm
Peters,
just what I would say to you, yeah. Gary, and we're talking hypothetical and projected down the road because you can't evaluate it now. But what I would say to you is the 2024 draft will always be viewed as a very successful draft, A, because of Jaden Daniels, most importantly, but B, because they got a starting corner, who, by the way, had versatility. They got a starting guard, and they probably got a starting D tackle and maybe another, you know, linebacker in Jordan McGee, who they love. If you hit on four out of those nine picks 3 years from now, major contributors, it was a wildly successful draft, especially when you consider JD at the top. That's what I would say. I think it's leaning in the direction of we're going to evaluate it in a very positive way in 3 years. But you might be right. Maybe Sanders still falls apart. Newton's a bust. Coleman can't play. McCaffrey can't get open. And JD ends up being the only good thing out of the draft. Time will tell. I'm just saying you can't make that determination today. But I gave you my lean and you gave me your lean. Let's check in 2027 on the draft. Thanks, Gary, as always. JYD, Rob, Sam, DC, Alex, stay on hold. We'll do a couple of more calls. Linnell will jump on with us. We'll get his thoughts. Ben will have all of the information from the various general managers, agents, etc. that he's checked in with. And we'll look ahead to tonight. And mock that out when we talk to Ben at 12. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Josh Connerly Jr. was the pick late last night. First round moved pretty quickly. It was actually pleasant to watch. It was a Shedeur Sanders show on ESPN. Kuiper, man, he is all in on Shedeur Sanders. He basically is calling out all these teams, whether it's Tennessee, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, the Giants, as making a massive mistake. Will be really interesting to see where Shedeur goes tonight. Cleveland's got, you know, picks that trade at the top of the first round, with Jacksonville trading up to get Travis Hunter. So Cleveland now has two of the first four picks in the second round. New Orleans has the eighth pick in the second round. Pittsburgh does not have a second round pick. So we'll see if they try to trade back up to get him. Pittsburgh's situation is the most interesting because they traded for DK Metcalf, and they've got George Pickens, and they literally do not have a quarterback right now other than Mason Rudolph. So they must be banking on Aaron Rodgers playing. All right, DC, thanks for holding. Go.
Great day, Kevin, man.
What's up, DC?
The callers today have been on point, whether it's opposed or – but I want to answer all of those questions. We drafted our – quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years last year with our first round draft pick. He was the best quarterback in that draft, and he's arguably top two quarterbacks in the league, or three quarterbacks in the league. This year, we drafted someone that can protect him the whole time he's here, and he's ready to win now because he made it to the NFC Championship, so we got a left tackle to protect him right now. So how can you say the organization is making bad choices or bad picks when we know the Hogs is what led us to our championship? And we also know that the guy is ready to win now. So why would you wait to protect him when he's doing as much as he can with less of a line? What is he going to do with a line that is helping him?
Well, you That's know, I'm with you on this, but I think the, you know, the playing devil's advocate, it would be, you basically were unstoppable offensively last year with the line that you had, and they were at times unstoppable, but your issue was defensively you couldn't get off the field enough. You couldn't stop the run, and ultimately in games against Philadelphia, you got beat up at the line of scrimmage. They got beat up at the line of scrimmage against Dallas both games. They got beat up at the line of scrimmage against New Orleans. That would be devil's advocate, but I'm for best player available. They clearly felt this guy was best player available, and the net takeaway is you got a guy that is going to fill a position that you probably felt like you needed filled because Coleman's more of a guard, as he was for much of the time at TCU. And you're investing in protecting the number one asset in your organization, Jaden Daniels. I can't complain about it either.
We still have the second round to pick up a DN, and there's plenty of DNs left. Like, half the DNs that we talked about, and I love that – you did, Kevin, I do want to give you a credit. You did say, don't be surprised if we draft an O-lineman last week. I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday or whatnot. Yeah. But we drafted the O-lineman that no one thought of. But it's who the coach wanted, who the GM agreed with. And the first thing I looked at after he was drafted was his RAS, because I've been hearing the RAS score, and they think highly of that. And then he only gave up three sacks in 1,000 snaps. Man, we got
gave
one.
Up no pressures against Abdul Carter in the Big Ten title game. Pretty impressive.
Come on, Kevin. Yeah. Let's go. Time to get back to the Hogs, man.
Good job.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Alex in Silver Spring. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for holding, Alex.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, Max, thanks for throwing me in the queue. When you were staying up late watching videos, did you see Mike Green dog walking him at the Senior Bowl? I'm sure you did. We could have had him led the nation in sacks, or Donovan Ezeraku, only half a sack lower. I appreciate Ian and Gary's call. I will ease up on Peters here a little bit. I do think I did not like Johnny Newton initially when we drafted him. I was screaming and shouting like I was last night. He looks good. Mikey Sanders still. Saban said he was the best pound-for-pound player in the draft. That's unquestionable. I think Luke McCaffrey will be a very competent slot. I like Jordan Maggi. I love Dom Hampton. No one's talking about John Jean Baptiste in the seventh round out of Notre Dame.
I know they like him.
I like him a lot. I know you talk about him a lot. But, Kevin, everyone fell on their face. First play from scrimmage, NFC Championship, Saquon Barkley to the house. Does Josh Connerly Jr. play defense? Is he going to stop the Eagles from putting up 55 points on us? I like how everyone calls in. They want to talk about their football knowledge and say, oh, let the football guys. Yeah, I understand. That goes without saying. These guys' jobs are to pick football players. We don't need to, like, say that over and over and have that stated. I'm giving Peters the benefit of the doubt. I thought beyond reproach was a little too much. However, I'm benefit of the doubt. It's not stopping Saquon Barkley. You didn't go Nicky Manwari, Maxwell Harrison. There were so many defensive players, even Will Johnson. You could have made up for not drafting Christian Gonzalez in 2022, which made me want to find Ron Rivera in public and berate him. But the point is this team, Lattimore, and no one's talking about this. The last thing I'll say before I say I want to do tonight, all the assets we gave up for Laremy Tunsil, and you turn around and you draft this guy at the end of the first round, he wasn't the best player available. You'll have Linnell on in 2 minutes here. I talked to Linnell last night. He liked Josh Simmons out of Ohio State more. So he clearly wasn't the best player available. And tonight,
because Linnell liked Josh Simmons more than Connerly Jr., I'm supposed to say,
living,
well, clearly he wasn't the best. Connerly wasn't the best player available on an offensive line analysis. Come on.
Is he gonna, if Cosme was even injured, would he even have been the pick? I understand offensive line depth and rotations are important.
Yes.
I understand they're important. That's fine.
And,
okay.
And by the way, nobody took Mike Green. Nobody took Mike Green. Nobody took Will Johnson in the first round. Why do you think that was?
Because we all know what happened with Mike Green in high school and college. He is not.
But we don't know what was uncovered through the due diligence about Mike Green at Marshall. Clearly, that guy, the talent he had, something is not right. And Will Johnson,
Ezeraku is a commander, and he's going to be gone.
You just talked about Saquon Barkley and stopping the run. Ezeraku's 245 pounds. He's a pass rusher. He's not a run stopper.
Turn on the tape.
I love Ezeraku as a pass rusher. He's 245. He wouldn't play for you on first down.
That's fine. He's just as heavy as Micah Parsons, only an inch shorter. He plays a different position in many ways.
They wouldn't move Ezeraku around like they moved Micah Parsons around.
Okay, and I'll enjoy watching the Eagles lift the Lombardi again.
They've got opportunities tonight to help their defense. I am with you on, I want more defense. I want them to be better on defense. I'm not with you on saying that there's no chance on their board that Josh Connerly was the best player available, because I think he was. And I have
Cliff left a note on the desk. That's why he was taken, because Cliff left a note on the desk.
Oh, come on. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that, Alex? You think Kingsbury walked in and said, please, left tackle, and all of a sudden it was, you know, the scouts in the front office, and you had, you know, you had Adam Peters saying, oh, my God, hadn't thought of him, but Cliff wants him. Let's do it. You're out of your mind.
Well,
I can tell you right now, the organization loved the player. Loved the player. I didn't know it.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. He won't stop.
Just said Kingsbury loved the player, and that's what got him drafted last night. I got to roll. I want to get one or two calls in here real quickly.
All right, Kevin,
Let's go to. Thanks for the call. Rob in DC. Rob, go ahead.
It was good, Kevin. I'm gonna go ahead and defend you real quick. Look, I know a lot of guys are tripping, but I do watch a bunch of film. I actually work with a sports agency. So when you get with Josh Connerly, you're getting a blue chip caliber tackle. This guy was an All-American in high school. He was the number three tackle in the nation. Went to Oregon on a stacked O-line, played with Bo Nix. He's played a lot of football.
Yep.
You know, and when you look at what we have and where we're going, we don't have time to go through with prospects. We need short things, and this is a short pick. It was a safe pick, a short pick, and you never can have too many linemen. one of the biggest issues he has. He needs to play bigger. He needs to play heavier. Who better to learn that from than Laremy Tunsil? So basically, you think about it, you got Laremy Tunsil for 2 or 3 years. You're basically doing the same thing Green Bay does with quarterbacks. When Tunsil leaves, you have somebody to slide in and be your stalwart of left tackle. The crazy thing about it all, everybody's talking this. The only thing that was logical other than drafting the offensive tackle yesterday was the trade back. I mean, you look at the positions that were there. Maybe you could take the safety out of South Carolina. But guys, like you said, Mike Green fell for a reason. There's a reason why Mike Green fell. And you look at the depth that they have on these the defensive players. The board is still stacked with a bunch of defensive players for today and tomorrow. Sure. And myself personally, I'm trading back. Even today, I'm trading back. I'm trying to get as many picks as possible because the board is still stacked. And outside of that, I do have this a random question for you. And this is because I've been hearing you talk about this for 2 or 3 weeks. Everyone keeps comparing Jeanty to all these great running backs. I heard the blasphemous comment of comparing him to Emmy yesterday. Why isn't nobody saying what I see?
Comparing him to who yesterday? Who did I compare him to?
Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith.
I didn't compare him to Emmitt Smith.
No, you didn't. I think it was not Mel Kiper. It was who the hell was on? I forgot who it was. But by the way, thinking about it,
it's not a terrible comparison in terms of style, in terms of the balance.
You're crazy. He's Trent Richardson. That's who he is. I say he's going to have the same career as Trent Richardson. He's Trent Richardson. He's literally Trent Richardson. That's who he is.
He's not Trent Richardson. Richardson wasn't that height, was he?
Yes, he was 5'9". I like Jeanty a lot.
I like Jeanty a lot. In fact, the comp I gave in terms of the real positive rose-colored glasses comp is LT. I think LaDainian Tomlinson in the build and the style of play is similar.
Oh, no, that's crazy, Cap. That's crazy.
Okay, but where were you going with this? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, so what I'm saying as far as evaluation and stuff like that, we are in a solid spot, in a solid position today to trade back and get more depth. I do like Mason Taylor as well, coming out the tight end out of LSU. But I mean, honestly, we are playing with house money right now. We got the quarterback, so everything else is just an addition to what we're building out. I mean, our defense does need to get worked on. We could use corners.
I got to get to a break. House money is different than a much better position than we've ever been in, because Kansas City's got arguably the greatest quarterback of this generation, and it'll go down as one of the all-time greats. And, you know, they need more up front to win. Yeah. They probably need another playmaker to win, even with Patrick Mahomes. All right, well, Linnell's going to jump on with me next. We'll get his thoughts. It sounds like, based on a caller who talked to Linnell last night, that he's not a big fan of Connerly Jr., so we'll find out why next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, last night was a big night for the Washington Commanders. They stick and pick at 29 despite having multiple offers to move off the pick. They select Josh Connerly Jr., the offensive tackle out of Oregon. He graded an 83.6 pass protection grade from PFF and a 78.3 overall. The Giants drafted Abdul Carter at number 3. Then they traded up with the Texans for 25 overall to draft Jackson Dart, the quarterback from Ole Miss. The Cowboys reached up for Alabama guard Tyler Booker, and the Eagles traded up with the Chiefs to select Jihad Campbell at 31. The Nats wrapped up the Beltway battle with a loss to the Orioles 2-1. They will take on the Mets tonight in Nats Park on the Team 980. To the ice, the Caps are looking to take a 3-0 series lead at the Bell Center. They were joined by Alexi Protas on the flight, who missed both games so far due to a cut on his foot. You could see him tonight or Sunday. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Ben, coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about tonight and look back to last night. But Linnell's jumping on with me right now. Linnell and Denton will be doing a show tonight on 980 in the YouTube. We'll carry the draft on 980, but on YouTube, and I will be appearing on that with them for a period of time. Linnell joins us right now. So I just had a caller call in and say that he was talking to you last night and that you don't like the pick. So go ahead, Josh what? Connerly Jr.
First of all, good morning. That's not at all what I said. We were actually talking about them going offensive tackle right before when I saw that Josh Simmons, the tackle out of Ohio State, was on the board. That was like my initial first thought is, well, if you're going to go offensive tackle, which I continued to believe, you know, throughout, you know, this process was still very much in play, you know, despite them bringing in, you know, Laramie Tunsil, I still thought if the tackle they liked was there at 29, it wouldn't prevent them, you know, from taking them. Very obvious, though, why they preferred Connerly over Simmons, right? Simmons had, you know, a little bit of a draft slide. Obviously, he ends up in Kansas City. And
made a draft slide because of the injury, more likely than that.
Right. So that's really was the big reason why he was able to fall. If he was fully healthy and had a full bill of health, a clean bill of health, he's probably offensive tackle one in the entire draft class. So that was the reason I was infatuated by him. But with Connerly, I don't think you can go wrong at all. The thing I love about him is what he is going to be asked to do here in the NFL. He majored in, you know, at Oregon over the past two seasons. They throw a lot of screens in terms of him being able to get out on the second level. Could you imagine, you know, him going out and taking out the corner and then his Deebo Samuel running up his back, you know, 60 yards for a touchdown? Like, that's what I envision when I look at Josh Connerly. The other thing, too, Kevin, that got me, whoever, you know, has gotten him ready to be, you know, an NFL player over the past couple of years, I don't know if it's a personal trainer or the folks at Oregon, he's, like, super technically sound based off everything you read and everything you watch about, you know, how the kid plays. So I think that's awesome as well. But all of a sudden, I think big picture, you have now turned your offensive line into a super strength. Now, there are obviously some, you know, moves to be made up front in terms of, like, position switches that we're not, you know, all the way privy to. I would think that Connerly bumps out to your right tackle. This officially kicks Brandon Coleman to the inside to be a guard. And then this is what excites me. The battery of your offensive line, when Cosme is back healthy, that guard-center-guard combo is going to be Brandon Coleman, Tyler Biadasz, and then Sam Cosme. That's going to be one of the best in the National Football League. And then, oh, by the way, right out the gate, I want to see how long it takes Connerly to be NFL pro, Kevin, because he's got some issues with play strength, and you never know how long that takes to get remedied. But from a pass protection standpoint, if he's, you know, as advertised, you're going to have one of the best pass-blocking tackle duos in the NFL right off the rip. So I really like the pick. I think it's all about, you know, obviously doing what you can to maximize Jaden Daniels. And you know, I'll never forget that audible, you know, gasp that you heard when he, you know, got crunched back against Atlanta. That was a scary moment. You want to keep him upright as much as possible. I think this pick does just that.
Who did you think they were going to take when they were on the clock, given some of the possibilities? Because there were plenty of them.
So I was surprised that Mike Green was still there. I think there is some real concern about the off-the-field stuff with him. That's the only explanation I could think of as to why he would slide out of the first round completely when you lead college football in sacks for a year. But from a production standpoint, over his time at Marshall, like, this year was kind of an anomaly. He really burst onto the scene and exploded. But I wanted Donovan Ezeraku, the edge out of Boston College. Like, that was my, you know, edge that I wanted here from the start of this process. You know, just because of what you already have, right? You brought in Dietrich Wise via free agency. You know, maybe he can start opposite Dorrance Armstrong on first and second down, and then on third down to start the season in your sub package, you unleash, you know, a guy like Donovan Ezeraku. But obviously they passed on the edge rushers, Kevin. I continue to believe they passed on edge rusher, and people were tweaked and panicked on social media. I think it's hilarious. Somebody called into your show and said, I didn't like the pick. I loved the pick. And they were actually listening to what the hell we were
trust
saying.
Trust me, Linnell, it happens all the time. I have people call me and say, why did you like him? I'm like, I actually said the opposite on the show. People hear what they want to hear. But tell me, so I look, Green and Johnson were not they were interesting possibilities, but the fact that they had slid all the way to 29 with their talent meant there were issues that teams were not going to spend a first-round pick on. So I was not expecting that. I was expecting potentially Ezeraku. I also thought corner was a possibility. I thought O-line was a possibility. I didn't guess Connerly, but I didn't know what they were going to do at 29. But I just thought it was interesting because if you had said to me 2 months ago, Mike Green's going to be available at 29, I would have said, that's your pick. But there's something wrong there. It's the stuff we don't get a chance to access that the rest of the league clearly. They spoke loudly on him. I thought he was the second best edge behind Abdul Carter in the draft, personally. Anyway, what do you want to see tonight?
It honestly, you know, depends. I would love to see them turn 61 into, you know, another pick so they're not one and done, you know, after 61 tonight. So that would be the ideal situation for me. But what I was going to say is that the reason I think they ended up passing on those edges, Kevin, is this edge rush class that we've been, you know, talking about, this defensive front in this class throughout the entire process. It's like a Baskin Robbins of edges. There are 32 different flavors, right?
Running backs, too. You know,
yes, indeed, which is why I was so against, you know, taking one in round one or round two, because that's not really where the value is at that position. But I think what it shows, Kevin, is their bucket of the other tier of edges, so to speak, they're very comfortable with, you know, at 61, or if they can acquire another pick, you know, later tonight. But guys like David Walker out of Central Arkansas is like a guy I had circled, Kevin. 6'1", 263. Yeah. I think he's only dropped because he doesn't have the prototypical body type for that position. He's James Harrison, though, is how I would like describe the way that he plays and how physical he is at the point of attack. I still think they can end up with Landon Jackson, the Arkansas kid. I've heard you talking about JTT, and I think like he is like the ultimate commander, the edge out of Ohio State. And the thing I love about JTT, he plays his best when the, you know, the lights are the brightest, so to speak.
Big
so,
game player.
Indeed. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Kevin, I think they showed us last night in round one, though, man. Like, they're going to go best player available. Whoever they think is the top player on their board at that time, that's who they're turning in, you know, with the pick. So I can say, you know, what I'd like to see, right? We're all still thirsty for the edge. I think outside wide receiver gets interesting here, depending on how that run goes here today. But receiver, I don't think running back happens, you know, today. I don't think it should happen, Kevin, in the second round or the third round. I think it's more of a day three type of pick, just because there's so much depth at position in this class, man. So I don't know which way they're going to ultimately go. It's kind of a cop-out answer, but I think probably, you know, edge, corner, wide receiver. If a tight end slides, Kevin, I thought, you know, Mason Taylor was potentially in play last night. You know, just because of, you know, where it was and how folks are talking about him, you know, towards the end of this process.
Is there a corner tonight that you like?
My guy's probably not going to be there, Kevin, but my whole thing is this. When you go out to the Senior Bowl and dominate, and think about what happened this year at the Senior Bowl, Kevin. That's where all of these wide receivers started to come onto the mat. Jaden Higgins, Jalen Royals, Jack Beck from TCU. Our guy, Azariah Thomas, the 6'2 outside corner from Florida State, went up to Mobile and shut all of them down. So I'm like, yeah, bring me him. Prototypical size for a Dan Quinn corner. And then I love, like, a guy that was in the ACC and didn't go up against a bunch of decorated receivers. He goes out to Mobile and shuts down guys from the SEC, the Big 10, the Big 12. So he can really play. Doesn't have the long speed, Kevin, but at 6'2", 200 pounds, like, can move really well for that size. That would be my ideal corner, you know, in this class.
Yeah. There are a couple players. I think Darian Porter would totally fit their whole, you know, RAS emphasis, not to mention, you know, the fact that he does everything. He's blocked five kicks in college. And if there's a wide receiver, if I told you they picked a wide receiver tonight, who would it be?
Depends on how the board shakes it. I know they were really in on the Ole Miss kid, Trey Harris, a guy that can come in, right, Kevin, to be an outside guy from right away.
6'3", or whatever,
I think he plays faster even than what he ran. Every time you're watching Ole Miss highlights, it's him running down the field by himself. He gets, you know, high points to the football well at the point of attack, too. I just think he adds a different body type, a different physical profile to the wide receiver room. That would kind of be my kind of rule of thumb here for wideout. Now, if you like a smaller guy, you know, like a Jalen Royals out of Utah State, then you go ahead and do that. But I think that they need that power forward still in the room, right, so to speak, Kevin, that can, you know, be a red zone threat, win the 50-50 balls. Noah Brown currently kind of, you know, serves as the tallest wide receiver in the room, if I'm not mistaken. So somebody that's, you know, of that profile physically.
Is Noah Brown taller than than Luke McCaffrey? He might
I think
be.
They're both 6'2".
Yeah. All right. Great job. On tonight with Linnell, 7 to 10, right, on YouTube?
Yes, indeed.
Me and Devin.
I'll talk. Right. What did I say? You and who?
7:15. Yeah, no, you said it right. You said it right. We'll see you at about 7:15, I guess.
I'll talk to you tonight. Thanks.
All good. Thanks, Jeff.
Linnell Willingham, everybody. Ben Standing next.